times. One of the things I do a good bit of is helping towns draft and adopt zoning ordinances or amendments to zoning ordinances, where you write and or rewrite the text of the zoning ordinance. And you know, I use my best judgment. The planning board looks at it and says, yeah, that's fine. The council says, yeah, that looks good. And 6 months later, we'll look back and somebody will come up and say, what were we thinking about? I know everybody probably read into that. Things that seem good at the time, given a different context, aren't always so good. And the English language, as wonderful as it is, can be real tricky sometimes. My wife is a former journalist, and so she kind of picks it. Things in newspapers sometimes, because it can be tricky.
With the Board of Adjustments, there's something that someone has challenged the building inspector on. They've drawn a line in the sand and said, I need for you to issue me this building permit for these reasons, and you don't agree, and I'm going to the Board of Adjustments.
Right.
Or someone's got a conflict and wants to have that building permit revoked. Maybe it's a neighbor. So you have this thing, it's a line that's been drawn, and we have to really go back and say, is he right or is he wrong? Or if there's a variance for some specific property, those are things we see a lot for something that they want to build outside of the parameters of what the rules are for those special cases.
But Tony, just listening to you, it could be a situation of, is the building inspector right or wrong? Has the building inspector been too stringent? You know, where you said earlier you only have to meet certain codes or
right.
standards, where he's maybe taken it to a level.
That's where you have to understand the whole situation. And,
right.
and for me, I process, you know, what that is, you know, because as a contractor, you have the health and safety of the public to be responsible for. And that's what the building inspector, did he go overboard or is he being rational with his decision? And so that's how I process some of the things that I hear.
Yeah. So it's not
right. What I'm hearing is creating a real complication, because regardless of, it's not how we look at it, it's what the word says. Whether we can turn it around or not, when the buildings inspector presents his case, he has to supply supporting evidence.
True.
And if that evidence does not uphold his position, then it can be overturned. But if it upholds his position, and you want to overturn it from that point, in other words, you want to go against the building inspector, then you got to have where Don was going to come up earlier, didn't put it out. It's not a simple majority that's going to pass.
It's
going to be
full. This is one of the challenges I think we get as a Board of Adjustment, because people appeal thinking that we can modify something. And in general, in the cases we've dealt with, it is very difficult for us to do anything but agree with the building inspector. We may have a good building inspector, but it's very difficult for us to take, if he's looked at his ordinances properly, it's very difficult for us to make any different interpretation that he makes.
I think one of the hardest things is, I run through scenarios in my mind, you have that guy with that pie-shaped lot that wants to build a house or wants to do something to his property, and maybe that he is right and it's the right thing to do, but he may, by doing that, may create hardship for his two adjoining neighbors. That's a hard decision.
Well, it could be. You know, for example, let's say your side yard requirements probably 8 or 10 feet side yard.
Five.
Yeah. Okay. That's a little bit small, but I guess your lots are narrow, but. Let's say, for example, he or she want a variance from 5 feet to 2 feet for a.
That's already in our ordinance, Tom.
Okay.
Where we have a problem, and let me give you some real. It hasn't come up. Where we're going to have some problems. Back some time ago, some people took what was a standard lot. By definition, in our ordinance,
right.
split that lot down or maneuvered the lot lines around,
right,
making both lots, in essence, non-conforming.
Right.
And technically speaking, they should have been unusable at that point. At some point in the future, someone is going to come to us and say, well, I bought this lot and it's only this size and I want to apply this to it, when it should have been a 50 by 100 or a 25 by 100.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to have problems.
Those are pretty narrow lots. I mean, what I was trying to get to, the granting variance, certainly, well, there are several reasons you have side yards. There are several reasons you do have side yards. And fairly obvious, but one of them is that some unforeseen case you might need to get an emergency vehicle behind the lot, behind the house, or fire protection. You know, here, particularly, you have a lot of wind, and it's nothing for flames to jump 3 or 4 feet or more. So you want to take that into account. There's where you have to make a judgment on the side yard situation.
In truth, we should have made that a lot wider than what we did when we first started off. But that's
done.
Water over the dam.
Water under the bridge.
Water under the bridge or
something like that. Let's move ahead.
Water on the fire, maybe.
Something like that. Okay. I want to talk just a little bit about your town ordinance that you set up the Board of Adjustment. I know y'all have probably never looked at this, or maybe you have. But this is from the town code. Your 5-member board. Members of the board shall be citizens and residents of the town. The only reason I mention that, in some rare cases, some towns have allowed non-resident property owners to be members of the Board of Adjustment. That's not real common, but that has happened in some cases.
Would this be a large town that had a lot of rentals in it? I could possibly see a situation like that, but
no, I think cases where maybe a property owner spends part of the year down here and part back up in Raleigh, that kind of situation.
But the person is a resident, even though they may not be a property owner.
You don't need to be a property owner to be on a Board of Adjustment or any kind of board.
But you do need to be a resident.
You need to be a resident. Something I want to talk a little bit about in section 19.45 at the bottom. Members of the Board of Adjustment may, after public hearing, be removed by the town council for inefficiency, neglect of duty, and so forth. That's a little bit peculiar wording, but what it basically says is that somebody's not coming to meetings and not doing their job, that the council may remove them after a public hearing. Now, many boards have rules that if you miss 3 consecutive meetings or 3 meetings a year, you're subject to being removed from the board. So I thought that was a little bit unusual.
I think we do have that in our bylaws.
Yeah. I want to look at some. These are kind of case studies or cases. I've got 3 of them here that talk about different aspects of. What we talked about. And what I'd like for you to do, though, turn to page 6. The first one is request for use variance. If you would read that background there, those first 4 paragraphs, it's first half of the page where it says Charlie Citizens and so forth, down to where the public hearing section starts.
You gotta be kidding.
This is just a made-up case. Just for fun.
Give us one that's complicated.
This wouldn't even come to us. This wouldn't even come to us.
No.
Okay. Y'all done it, or almost done it?
You want a verdict?
Well, let's go through this. Ms. Cole, would you be, we're going to read this kind of like a little book. Would you be board member one? Charlie, you be Mr. C. I'm going to make you Mr. C, or Mr. Citizen. Peter, you be board member two. And Tony, you be board member three. So, Ms. Cole.
Yes. What do you want me to
read? Read your part there.
Or, okay. Mr. Citizen, have you looked for other commercial property in town?
Yes, sir. And, excuse me. Yes, and there was some available, but it's awfully expensive.
Why do you think money should be a hardship? We all have to make a living.
I'm just trying to save my money, and the neighbors don't really care. As far as I'm concerned, if it's all right with them, it should be okay with the town.
I tend to agree with Mr. C. I think the neighbors should have a say what goes on in the area. I really don't see anything wrong with it myself. I mean, how much traffic can it be from a little craft shop?
Well, I certainly agree that the neighbors should have a say in what goes on in their area, but I don't think we're right to allow a variance for commercial use in a residential area. That's up to the zoning to do that.
I tend to agree. I just don't see a hardship here other than economics. Mr. C has admitted that there's other commercial property in town. It's not like this is the only place he could put his shop. What if we allowed everyone to run a business out of his garage?
Well, I disagree. What's the difference between this and home occupation other than the fact that they're running it out of the garage instead of their house? It's like Mr. C said, there's other businesses in garages and they were there before the zoning.
I move the application for a variance to allow a business in a residential zone be denied.
I second the motion.
Well, I still agree with Mr. C.
Any further discussion?
Well, I'm glad I got one softy in the crowd.
Well, I agree with Mr. C. We ought to let him have his business. It really doesn't hurt anything, and the neighbors don't care.
Those in favor of the motion, raise their hand. Opposed, raise your hand. The motion to deny the request is approved by a 2-1 vote.
Okay. So the question is, if you were on the board, Jill, how would you have treated this case?
Why would what?
How would you have treated this case? What you've done?
Well, I think that when he said that he had two employees and stuff like that, that puts it in a different light. I mean, there's a lot of people that work from home,
sure,
or have things to do at home, but you don't have employees. Mm-hmm. I mean, that employees is a thing that would never come to the Board of Adjustments.
The other thing is what do you define as a hardship? I mean, we're not in a business of defining up how much profit margin the person
right,
makes.
Exactly. That's not an option. Yeah, everybody can claim financial hardships. It's all kind of in your mind. One of the points I wanted to get out of here was that he was really requesting a use variance. What he was asking for was permission to run a commercial operation in a residential zone, and that is strictly prohibited by state law. You cannot request a variance from the zoning ordinance to do that. He could have, one of the things he could have done, and this is just a hypothetical fun case, one of the things he could
have... Would you repeat that statement?
You cannot request a variance for the permitted uses to do something. For example, if a widget shop...
No, okay. Let me be more specific what I'm getting at.
Okay. Hurry before I forget what
I said. No, never mind. Forget it.
Okay.
We got that covered.
Well, this okay. Would be an example of spot zoning.
Well, it could be. What I was trying to say is that you cannot, what was this, a furniture shop or a craft shop. If craft shops are allowed in the B1 zone, and he's got a R1 zone, or whatever you want to call it, he cannot request a variance from the permitted use table to operate a craft shop in the R1 zone. What he should have done is request either a change of zoning to B1 or C1 or whatever, or to have the ordinance amended to allow craft shops as a permitted use in the R1 zone. Now, probably both of those wouldn't fly, but the point that this little story illustrates is that you cannot have a amendment, or cannot have a variance from a permitted use. Anything else on that? That's pretty straightforward. Okay, the second one starts at the bottom of page 7. And if you would read, this is fairly short, part background, Billy Big Boy restores and sells antique cars, so with, up to the top of the next page to what the Board of Adjustment means. You get all this better, Joseph?
Mm-hmm. Got the paper going.
See what the big deal is.
We believe he's clearly in violation of section 3F of the junked vehicle ordinance. That section says that you can't store vehicles on your property unless it's in a used car lot or a commercial car repair business. In our opinion, Mr. Bigby's situation is neither of these.
Number one. When I went there this morning, I didn't see any vehicles at all. How many do you normally have, Mr. D?
Well, sometimes one or two. It just depends on how busy I am.
We've heard he's had as many as 4 up there at one time.
Do you have any photos of the cars actually there?
No.
How many complaints has the staff had from the neighbors, and when were they reported?
We've had 2 or 3, the most recent about a month ago.
How many vehicles did the staff see there on your visits?
It seems like, if I remember correctly, there were 2 vehicles on one visit and 1 vehicle on another.
Shoot, the neighbors across the street keep their boat and RV in the driveway, along with the SUV. I really don't see the difference.
We think the difference is that the RV and SUV are licensed and the antique cars don't meet the ordinance.
As I understand it then, the concern is not so much the fact that he's working on the cars in the garage, but rather that he's got them parked in the front of the yard.
I believe you're correct.
Mr. Bigway, why don't you get licenses for these cars? Wouldn't it make them legal?
Well, sometimes the cars are sold in a matter of weeks, and it just seemed like a waste of money. It's a that you, Ms. Cullen? Who's the board member?
Charlie.
Okay, Charlie.
Wait a second.
Board number one. Right.
Okay. This is Big Boy. Can't you take these cars to the car lot somewhere and have some type of consignment deal with the owner, with the lot owner?
Gosh, I guess I could, but that would cost me money too.
I certainly see how this could be a problem in some situations. Mr. Chairman, I move that the appeal of the staff's interpretation be overruled.
I second the motion.
Who was Charlie?
Am I here again?
Yes.
Okay. Those in favor, raise your right hand. Those opposed, raise your right
hand.
Excuse me? Raise your... Raise your right hand. Okay, it's being said separately. Okay.
Okay.
Motion passes.
Okay, there are actually several things going on here. Do you think the board would just react to correctly supporting the staff's position?
I think there's some other...
There are.
Other issues there.
Right. Okay, what are those other issues?
One is, can you run a business in that residential area? You start with that.
Yeah, you start with that. That's one thing. There's some other things in here. What else? If you were a board, well, you are a board member, not if you were. What might bother you about the staff's presentation?
Lack of actual evidence.
Yeah. No pictures?
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you exactly when they were out there.
And were they neighbors who complained, or was it someone just driving down the street?
Yeah. That's one of the major points of this little scenario is you've got to have factual, correct, detailed information in your case, not, well...
But this wasn't a business.
Well...
He said he did it as a hobby, but he sold them.
Yeah. He probably had a used car dealer.
He says sell antique cars as a hobby.
Yeah.
I have a hobby as far as pottery is concerned, but I sell it too.
Well, you can debate the pros and cons of that. The point here, one of the points was that it was contrary to the junk car ordinance, but the staff, the sloppy homework on. That's those two of the points.
And what defines junky car? I mean, without any pictures, does it mean it has no door?
No registration is what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't licensed and insured.
Yeah.
If they were licensed and insured, it might be a different story.
Yeah.
And if he's restoring it, I mean.
It's not always cut and dried, is it? I know Ford Ranger several years ago that might have been a junk truck. But, does the town have a problem with, is it? Are junk vehicles an issue here?
They can
be from the standpoint they remain parked and it's clear and evident that they're not tagged and they're not being kept up and stuff is going around.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is too, you can have a licensed vehicle and it still be a junkie.
Oh yeah. It can pass inspections and be licensed and still be a junkie. In some people's minds. So, okay, let's do one more.
Piss me up, would you?
What's that?
One very simple reason.
Okay.
My eyes don't move right, okay? And between my glasses and my eyes, unless I have to go slow, and I don't like it.
We'll pass on you this time, sorry. Okay. Let's look at the final one here on the bottom of page 9, the Cindy sideboard. Joseph, you want to You want to jump in on this one?
If you'd like.
Okay. Joseph, we'll make you board member one.
Okay.
And Tony, you'll be Miss Site Board. Peter, you'll be board member two. And Miss, what is your first name?
D.
Oh, just like, okay. You'll be board member three. So, Josie? Yeah.
Okay, I'm board member one.
Yeah.
Ms. Seidward, I understand your concern about not wanting to cut the tree down, but I guess you know that because there are so many trees in town, that almost every time someone builds or adds onto their house, a tree has to be cut down. What makes your case different?
Well, I just don't want to lose the shade, I guess.
Is this the only shade you have on the lot?
No.
I have to say that it is a nice big tree.
I don't see any reason we can't let her have the variance since there's nobody right next to her.
My brother owns a lot and he says he doesn't care if I build close to the property line.
I still don't see what's so special about her tree that it couldn't be cut down like anybody else in town.
I move that we grant Ms. Sideboard the variance to let her build 3 feet into the side yard like she wants to do, so she won't have to cut down the tree.
I second the motion.
The motion passes 2-1, board member one voting against. So the question is, do you think the Cyborg's case is a legitimate hardship?
No.
No. And I'm a tree lover.
Yeah.
Now unless the town had an ordinance on cutting down trees.
Well, even if the town has an ordinance not to cut down trees, the setbacks would still supersede that.
Maybe cutting the tree would be a...
Well, and the other thing here, just because the neighbors complained, in this case, the neighbor didn't really care. The neighbor didn't care. That shouldn't have any bearing on it.
The neighbor was a brother, too.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Let's do one final thing, and we won't read this whole thing.
Can we go back to the very beginning?
Oh.
Because you pointed something out that I think is important. And I have recommended this in the past, and I agree thoroughly with your comment. When you said, well, you're only meeting maybe twice a year, and that's not enough. You might want to give that some thought. When I first came on the board, my suggestion was that we try to meet once a quarter. Because the time when you have a case coming up, that's not a time to be working on things like this.
Right.
You want a separate time period where you can talk about the pros and cons, and you know what you're looking at. You can apply the book and you can apply the statutes properly.
Well, there is some value, and I think I understand what you're saying, Charlie. There is some value to having an informal discussions like these, where I'm a moderator, facilitator of a detached participant. And I think it adds value to your membership. And whether you need to be once a quarter or every 3 or 4 months, I don't know. So that's your call, but that's probably not a bad idea to think about. It's just to kind of keep this whole thing fresh in your mind. But y'all decide that. I'm not going to push it one way or the other.
I want you to bring it up because I
don't know what the right way to do it is, Charlie, but I agree with you. I mean, whether it's to have Don come every quarter, a quarterly meeting with John, wouldn't do any harm at all, John Benson. Just discuss the things we're here.
You mind if we talk about this now?
No, I'm here at your pleasure. I'm here as your servant.
My feeling is, I would prefer that it be the board in the discussion, and not have an outside. Because I want to see us developing independent thought. And I don't want us relying on others to do our thinking for us.
No.
Or to suggest that we go this way or that way. So if we're debating things and we can't come to a reasonable solution with either the book or the statutes, we can write these items down and say, okay, it's time to pull in the attorney or time to pull in the building inspector, and let's get their feedback on this and then look at it from that standpoint. We can do our own research on the internet to see how things are.
I'm not opposed to having, you know, the building inspector here, because it gives us a better, more practice of this working with, you know, kind of in a real life scenario.
Right.
Because that's who we're going to be working with, along with the attorney.
Right.
Don't know if you get the attorney here all the time, but
no.
It's the building inspector.
Well, one thing, my guess is the attorney paid by the hour or house he paid. So his meter's running.
He don't care.
Once he leaves.
Oh, we can get him here.
Here's one thing. Two, his meter's running from the time he leaves his office to the time he goes. That's a factor too. But I want to leave you with one other thing that we talked about being done around quarter after, and it's 20 after, so and does it for just 5 more minutes or so, and then we'll decide whether we want to go any further or not. The last thing in your packet is on page 11, and we'll not read this whole thing. You can read this sometime, but I want to. This talks about the notion of hardships. What's an unnecessary hardship? And on the second paragraph, and I'll just read two or three sentences in the second paragraph. Hardship arising from the development of property is unnecessary if the hardship is attributable solely to the actions of the owner. Hence, it is common for ordinances to prohibit the granting of a variance for hardships that are self-created or self-imposed. For example, a very simplistic scenario, let's say I have a 50-foot wide lot and I sell 10 feet of it to my neighbor, and I've got a 40-foot wide lot and I want to put a house on it that's 36 feet wide. That's going to create 2 feet on each side. That's not a hardship. That's not a hardship. But as you know, Tony brought up a case earlier with the pie-shaped lot or the odd-sized lot, and you don't put a small house on it. That's probably a hardship. Your hardships are to some degree in the mind of the beholder. What you might think is a hardship, I might not think, and the vice versa. Supposed to collect the wisdom forward. Determine what a hardship is. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to get at, because very often there's that distinctive white line that pops up and says, yes, this is, and no, this isn't. It's a judgment case. And there's where experience and training and discussions come into play.
Well, the last case we had was like that. It was a self-inflicted situation.
Right. Yeah. What was the gist of that, basically?
Well, it was instead of there was a person that owned the lot, had two houses,
right.
And they cut the lot in half, had a house in the back, house in the front. Well, the house in the front it got remodeled and built, and then
right.
He built another house in the had two non-conforming lots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he owned another lot beside that, but it was actually split in half. So. It was 25 by 100 lots, so it kind of made a very unusual situation.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Now the people in front wanted to
go up,
remodel and go up, and then it became an issue. But
no, whereas beforehand, he'd had this ocean front, right? He had a one-story house here, and he had a two-story house, so he could see the ocean. They wanted to build the second story, and that blocked his view.
It actually, you know, since he already had owned the property and split it in half, and sold that property for a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really fault the people for doing what, you know, improving the value.
Yeah.
You know, he's got another lot, or actually two lots right beside of it.
Yeah.
Why didn't he build over there? So it was kind of like one of those things. You have property.
Yeah.
So why, you know?
Why would you build behind somebody?
Yeah. Why did you build this little house in in such a small lot, this makes sense.
Yeah. Did y'all have a rules of procedure?
With what, in what respect?
Well, the way you operate.
You mean Board of Adjustments?
Yes.
Yes,
yes we have.
Do you? Okay, good. You need to follow, should follow. And I'm stating the obvious to you, you cannot go into closed session to discuss a case.
No, we do it right here.
You cannot do that. That's a definite no-no. And do you mail out notices, if you got a request for variance, do you mail out notices to the adjacent property owners or put it in a paper, or how do you do that? So that they get notice, that they know that adjacent property owners will get a letter. I think that's all I want to talk about. I'm at your mercy and at your service. As long as you all want to stay here or anything else to discuss or feedback, thoughts, questions.
I want to get some thoughts about what Charlie raised about the frequency of the mill, or how we deal with these long periods of time between.
Since we've got a sufficient amount to basically make a decision here.
Well, we may make a decision.
If you wanted to.
But we need to, what's everybody's feeling on that? It's 6 months before we get together again, or should we be together more frequently?
Well, I think quarterly, especially with Deke coming on, we threw it right into a case. Two of them.
I think, I will do whatever the board wants to do, but I think the key is really getting the cases far enough in advance that we can do the appropriate research.
Mm-hmm. And then having the some type of at least quarterly updates, training, and I think the more people we can get here, like the building inspector, just helps that. It just helps everybody. I mean, the attorney probably don't want to spend the money just to do the training. That can get a good price.
We pay you as well, don't we?
Well, this is the freebie, frankly. I think what we could do, and I have to talk to my director about this, probably pay for my travel down here back. If it's only quarterly, the travel from the office down here back, that's only 30 miles or so. So I'm not advocating the company to get the town's pocketbook, and don't get that impression.
No. The other question is there, in other boards of adjustment, other things that the board of adjustment do that we don't do?
Well, boards of adjustment can do three things. One, they can grant variances. Two, they can hear requests for conditional use permits. And three, they can hear appeals of the zoning enforcement officer. You guys don't do conditional use permits, so by state law, you can only do those three things. You only do it two of them. So the answer is no. And I'm giving you a long answer. Training is not a bad thing, and I think quarterly or a couple times a year or every 4 or 5 months, we would be willing to come down in a setting similar to this and maybe have different topics or whatever's on your mind. You'll let me know a couple weeks ahead.
I think it would be nice if we just got together and figured, hey, I got a problem here. Let's see if the rest of our group is.
Well, that's the value of these things, is you can have a relaxed and formal discussion without having the pressure of a case in front of you.
And they're filming.
Right. Well, yeah.
Right.
And frankly, you're not.
I'm suing for that on YouTube somewhere.
You're not at ease when the public's here. That's just where it is.
Well, it's part of the job we're doing. That when you see a guy back there for the filming for the whole time you're up there.
Yeah. It's
do you really pay attention to that?
I mean, I saw him back there, and I saw him, filming it and recording it and everything else. But it's didn't bother me. It wasn't going to change my decision, but still, you know, you just weren't prepared for that.
By the way, my eyes are getting, when I got to read, I might pay attention to that.
Are you missing one member today?
Yeah.
Harry. Okay. Harry Humphreys. Yeah.
Harry was doing firearms training tonight.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do we not have alternates?
Yeah, we do.
Sandra. Sandra Willie.
Yeah, and I'm gonna expose my ignorance tonight. Josie had mentioned that one of y'all was a council liaison.
He did not come tonight.
Okay. Well, not good, he's not here, but good, I didn't.
So who was Sandra's an alternate? Who's
Sandra's an alternate?
We just got one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to be
seen. Because he's also the liaison for the building inspector, and that's why he's here.
Yes.
Essentially, he's not here as a liaison for us as much as he is for the building inspector.
And who's that?
Barry
Elder.
You can keep your notebooks and you can keep your name tags. I thought I'd have another group the same name.
Yeah.
But we've got nice printing ones to be
put. Well, I know. I want a budget.
You can make a motion to adjourn.
I enjoy these. I appreciate the joy. You are volunteering for the community.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
I think you've given some thought, at least we're thinking about how we organize ourselves. We're thinking about quite a few
things. By all means, I mean this seriously, if you get home and have a thought about something, my email address is on the agenda there. Email your suggestions, comments to Josie and Nancy and get them to me or whatever. Good things, bad things. I need to know what didn't work too, so I can fix that. I've done a lot of this, and doesn't mean it's always good, you know. So,
Don, you knew the problem I had. I was going to speak up a couple of times, and I'm saying, "Shut up, Charlie." Just because some of the things that Don was saying to you has already been covered so many times before. Because you have new members, okay? I don't know how familiar they are. So what might be common to me is not necessarily common to them. And it's those plus that I'm interested in, and sometimes the only way to get that out is by talking.
Well, it is, and one of my challenges coming into a group like this is knowing how much to talk about and at what level, because we've got the rookies and the old-timers. I'm trying to hit that middle ground, and that's sometimes a guessing game.
That's why I asked about our alternates tonight, because we don't have an alternate.
You know, I can wind up wanting to give you the whole loaf, but you really only want two slices, or vice versa.
No, I think you almost any topic you can bring up is going to be a good discussion.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone now, can we propose
a motion? Make a motion we close.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Meeting closed.
Okay, take this vote.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Thank you, Doc.
Certainly.
Appreciate it.
Well, I hope you can benefit from it. And Nancy and Josie, know the phone number?
Thank you, We've got the answer, and if anybody have any questions, we'll forward them on to you.
It's kind of funny about meeting times. So one of my towns, planning board moved.